Hello. Okay. Hello.
Hello, Julia.
Do you see me and hear me?
I
I
see and hear you, and look at us with matching burgundy hats. Wonderful.
love that for us.
Thank you so much for
No
joining
worries.
us. Normally I say us. Adam had to bail, but we'll be good
Oh.
anyways. It'll be fine.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hope
Don't
everything's
be
okay.
sorry if it makes you feel better. He bailed well before you pushed the time, so it's all good.
It does make me feel a
Yeah.
little better.
His daughter is doing some school
Gotcha.
extracurriculars this afternoon that he got to
Of
parent for.
course.
So, yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
That's
Yeah,
what I
that's what
said.
you
I mean,
live for.
I scolded him, but that's just a kidless man's guilt. Yes.
Yeah, I so get it. I mean, yeah, there's been situations where I've had to like push stuff or cancel stuff because of the dog. So, you know,
Yes.
if it's a human child, I feel like it's even more justified, depending on who
I
you ask.
sure. Well, we can give him that. Absolutely. I love it. Do you have a heart out, my friend? You know how this goes. Normally about 45 minutes, but I don't want to keep you longer than you have. So,
No, not
no?
really.
Okay.
No, I don't have
Okay.
anything until 3, so we should be good.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, I will count us in and we can just get going.
Sounds awesome. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. In 3, 2, 1. So pleased to be joined once again by writer and content creator for MLB.com, Julia Cruz. Welcome back to the walk-off. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I big fan of the show. I think you guys do good work and fun work, which
You.
is not always
Yes.
easy in this sport.
Yes.
So, yeah, I always have time for you guys.
Well, really appreciate you taking that time, and I just want to say congratulations, by the way, on your dog Elfie making his debut appearance on Jay's Talk with Blake Murphy. What a star. I love
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. It was listen, I told people if you had planned it, it wouldn't have happened as
Yeah.
nicely, you know, just like as perfectly as it did. Everything came together. She her other mommy was away, so she was a little needy. She had like some tummy issues and she was acting out a little bit here and there. And that was one of those when I sat down to do my hit with Blake and she started just, you know, going nuts. I said, okay, I'm just gonna put you on my lap. Please, oh please, just lie down, just be very chill. We have 20 minutes to get through here. But you know, she's just waiting for the perfect
Instantly.
moment
Yeah,
to.
exactly.
And then
Pops her head up.
as soon as Blake mentions the schedule coming up and the what the Blue Jays can do with it, she was like, okay, I've had enough. I need to jump in
A true Blue Jays fan at this point, really. Yes, I'm out. I'm done. Enough. I know you mentioned her stomach was not great. She's all good
Yeah.
now?
Well,
Okay.
her other mommy's back, so she's as
Okay, so
happy as you can be.
all of
Yeah.
the pain is gone.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, let's dive in to some baseball here. We'll start with Wednesday's heartbreaking loss, a blow and save by Jordan Romano, as Adley Rutschman, of course, walks off the Orioles in the bottom of the ninth with that home run. But in the end, I mean,
Yeah.
the problem was what it's been all year. The problem's been was what it's been for over a year last season as well, which is a lack of run production. Vladdy's finally coming out of his slump. He's looked really good over the last 20 games or so. Bo is starting to show some life as well. I guess this question is, you personally, how do you feel? Is there any way that this team starts scoring more runs than they're scoring? Or should we look at the very long track record of what we've seen over the last 18 months and realize that we're going to win and lose 3-2 games for the rest of this season with the cast of characters we have.
Yeah, it's kind of a I've been using this word a lot to describe the Blue Jays in several capacities of late, but it is puzzling what this team has sort of displayed so far, because we have seen the other side of it, right? We have seen the big games in which they score a bunch of runs and how that comes to be, which is sort of a combination of what, you know, Don Mattingly and the coaching staff have been preaching of taking good at bats, swinging at your pitch, not necessarily being overly concerned with power or pop or things like that. But it is a combination of that and power that has led the Blue Jays to their big games of the season when it comes to scoring. And, you know, they, one of them unfortunately came in DC when Alek Manoah struggled. The other one came at home when they had a big comeback win. So over the Twins. So you kind of see that the, what is missing here is that little bit of everything. And more often than not, the ingredient that is missing is power. So you're going to talk about, say, a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., launch angle is the first thing that comes to mind, right? We are seeing him hit the ball extremely hard, but he usually hits it on the ground. And so that will give him mostly singles, a double at max, and the home runs are still not coming.
If you could win games off exit velo, like can we change the rules of baseball to really slide towards the Jays here? Because exit velo, Vlad is the king of.
Yeah, I mean he'd be MVP every year, right? Yeah. If we were looking at that metric alone. But that is the thing: is this Blue Jays team is extremely talented, so they will take good at bats. You know, in every sample size will eventually even out. I think that we saw some bad situations for the Blue Jays, in which they were pressing and they were very clearly swinging at pitches that weren't meant to swing at, right? It's that part we have seen. And the more you lose, the more that is going to weigh on your mind and you're going to try to be the guy that sort of gets the team out of it. That's not what the Blue Jays should do. And then when they corrected that, you start seeing more traffic on the bases. You start seeing, you know, even those hard fought singles or whatever it is, the walks, which, you know, has been definitely a plus. The fact that the Blue Jays are not whiffing at a ton of pitches and their on base percentage is pretty good. That's great. Now that needs to translate into results. And that is where the word damage comes in, as John Schneider likes to say. The guys that are supposed to do damage, such as Vlad, such as Bo, such as Justin Turner, who has been, you know, a bright spot for this club. These are the guys that need to step up. And we are seeing it a little bit from Danny Jansen, for sure, who seems to be immune, impervious to slumps. You know, when the lineup is struggling, he is a guy that if he's healthy, he delivers. So I would say it starts with looking at things such as launch angle. Okay, what can we do to maximize those swings in those big moments? Okay, we've created the traffic on the bases. Now what? I would say that would be the next step. But it's one that seems very, very difficult for the Blue Jays to get at. So am I confident that, you know, this is going to be figured out all of a sudden? No. However, it's possible to look at it and implement little things that over the course of a season can generate better results.
I love your opinions on baseball, Julia. What I love talking to you about is that sometimes you wind up, like when Adam and I get going, we wind up in an echo chamber almost, right? Because we just, we're, it's all our thoughts. And like, we even joke sometimes that like our thoughts meld into one after we talk for an hour and a half. Like, it's just like how it goes. So it's refreshing to hear that. And I'm really curious on your thoughts on Dalton Varsho hitting in the two hole. He's been great there. And deservedly should have been moved up, especially with the way Bo has been playing at the plate.
Yeah.
Can you see him sticking there? Or is this all just a countdown to Bo getting right and being back at the top of that lineup and Dalton being moved down?
Yeah, we know that the Blue Jays can be a little conservative when it comes to tweaking their lineup. And
yes,
I'm sure that that's a very diplomatic word based on what you probably have heard or
that's
seen
actually my
on
next
social
question
media.
For you. So yes.
And so I would assume that, you know, once Bo does get going, which he will, and no one is expecting him to struggle for the rest of the season. We're already certainly seeing signs of that and in just Bo doing what it is that he's best at, which is, you know,
which
swinging away and getting
yes.
those line drives, and, right? And scoring those runs for the Blue Jays, which is something that they desperately need, right? The run production that comes with Bo Bichette at the plate is something the Blue Jays really, really need right now. So I do believe that he's going to get right. And then when he does, he's probably going to go back to the number two spot. what I would quote unquote suggest, or, you know, posit here, is that that doesn't mean necessarily that Dalton Barshow needs to go back to hitting at the bottom of the lineup, because this is a guy, we're seeing how clearly it is that now he is just comfortable and trusting himself and not necessarily having that pressure of having to prove himself in a new club. All of that is playing into the player that Dalton Barshow has always been. We unfortunately didn't see a bunch of that last year because, you know, coming into a new league, adjusting to new pitchers, and having that in the back of your mind of, you know, this was a pretty big trade that the Blue Jays just pulled.
Yeah. You can even throw a new country into that.
Right,
you know?
On. Right on. New climate, all of that. And we certainly saw that with his splits, right? Last year, he did not hit well at Rogers Center at all. And we're already seeing that normalize a little bit too. So I don't believe that this is a player that deserves to hit at the bottom of the lineup. With the way that the Blue Jays do things, it's possible that we may see him more at the number five or number six spots than at the number two spot as we are right now. But I got to say that it's an encouraging sign that you know, the Blue Jays are seeing the struggles of a guy like Bo, for example, and that Bo is, you know, out of his head enough to say, okay, yeah, I'm not producing, so I'm going to go to the bottom of the lineup and I'm going to do what I can to help the team win at this point. Do I see that happening a little bit more or more frequently or with different players? That's a whole different conversation.
What importance do you personally put on the batting lineup construction? Fans are losing their mind over a few things, right? George Springer being a big one. And I know that, man, George just hasn't been who we really as fans were hoping he would be when the Jays went out and signed him to that monster contract, organizational largest contract they've ever signed, right? So like the expectations were really high, and I know he struggled with injuries those first 2 years, and then they moved the earth and the moon to make sure that he was not in center field, that he was taking all his reps in right, and that there was lots of DH and off time for him, and it worked. Unfortunately, what we didn't see work with it is the offense being where we were hoping it would be. And I know that he is constantly put in leadoff in the leadoff spot, and a little bit of credit to John Schneider for having that kind of loyalty and at least showing the face of believing in his star player, whether he truly in his guts does or not. But do you personally feel that there's certain guys in the lineup that would be better served moving down, using George as an example here? And even the more big picture question is, how much does it really matter? And I'm not saying like putting all your top guys at the bottom of your lineup and them not getting as many bats as some of the others. I just mean like in the Blue Jays scenario where George is an eyesore at the top of that order and everyone is on Schneider to move him down. Do you think in the end it really makes that big of a difference?
And I think it depends. And this is not a cop-out answer by any means, but there are certain, George Springer hitting leadoff right now is one that you can point to and say, this is not working, right? Very clearly, it is not working. Lineup construction has its blatant moments such as this one, but it has also its subtleties, right? And the subtle pieces are those that when a manager makes a tweak and it works, he's a genius. And if he tweaks and it doesn't work, then whatever.
He's costing us wins.
Does not matter or whatever. But with Springer, it's very, very clear that this is not working right now for whatever reason. You know, he was sick. And again, there's factors that we don't really know or can't know because of how it is, just how a clubhouse works. Give me 1 second. Sorry. It's okay. Thank you, honey. Sorry.
Hey, you nailed that mute. Such a pro. See?
Yeah. You see, I muted and I just like pulled her off. And then I unmuted and I said, thank you, honey. So yes, you just catch the good part.
So polite. So great. Yes.
Sorry about that. But let's take it back to the two games that Davis Schneider was hitting leadoff for the Blue Jays. And, you know, health was a big problem with Springer in a different way here, because these guys were struggling, and we could see it during that Twins series that
Well,
it was a problem in that
as
clubhouse,
Keegs
right?
put it, the flu jays,
The
right? So
Flu Jays, and it's,
yeah,
yeah, I think
very
that he
true.
nailed it in the sense that, yes, the team was sick, and at one point they were just putting together the nine healthiest players on the
Yeah.
field, right? It's that's what it was, and you can't control that stuff. It feels like this entire city is getting sick right now. I
Yeah.
certainly was sick with the same, you know, with or at least a similar deal as what the Blue Jays had, and it was no fun. It's like my job is just to sit here and type some words. Their job is to go out and, you know, get hits. It's like, how do you do that
Yeah.
when you're not feeling it? So, you know, I you have to at least acknowledge that, and for Springer especially. But when Davis Schneider was hitting leadoff, we saw one game in which, you know, John Schneider really touted his ability of getting on base and of controlling the strike zone, and being that guy that can set the table for the Blue Jays at least in his first at bat. That didn't work out. He finished, I think, 0 for 3, two strikeouts, a big strikeout with runners on base on three pitches in which he didn't look like the Davis Schneider that we have come to see at the plate. And then the second game, it was clear right from the get-go that he was making that offense more balanced by being where he was, that he was controlling the strike zone, that he was, you know, purposely, and he said so after the game, seeing more pitches because Kevin Gausman was going through some lengthy innings there. And so he understood his role at the top of that lineup, and how can I contribute here? And the Blue Jays ended up picking up a big comeback win in which Schneider finished a triple short of the cycle, right? So you have two very different examples in a small sample size of what it is that Davis Schneider represents at the top of that lineup. I would have liked to see him get some more reps at that point, especially because of the way that he produced in that comeback win over the Twins. But the Blue Jays are extremely loyal and extremely strict about having George Springer hit leadoff when he's in the lineup. I can't say that I agree with that. You know, he could be even seeing a little bit more production and helping the bottom of Blue Jays lineup more, were the Blue Jays a little more willing to move him around. And we are seeing the bottom of the lineup in many cases produce and
Yeah.
get those big hits and you know, turn things around for the Blue Jays. You add in a guy like Springer, who has the potential to do that damage and to help move the lineup forward and to, you know, get the big hits in the big moments. And all of a sudden, there's a possibility at least that your team looks more balanced and more dangerous throughout. So it's a tricky one. It's puzzled me, but it is the philosophy that we have seen pretty much from the get-go with this team.
It's been interesting to watch how much Davis Schneider has had to prove himself to John Schneider to even stay. I mean, I think he's at the point now where he's an everyday player, but this was, and it surprised me a little bit. I mean, I wasn't a guy right out of the, I mean, obviously he had the hottest start in MLB history. So we're all aware, if you've watched baseball for any amount of time, that having your expectations there is just a case for insanity. But you know, it has felt like he's done enough to have maybe been given a little bit more leeway than he has been. Do you think that just has less to do with Davis Schneider and more to do with just the experienced bats in this lineup already, guys like Springer and stuff that have already won John over?
Yeah, the just the roster construction right now doesn't necessarily help Davis Schneider in some ways. There are a ton of proven bats. There is so much, you know, competition for those middle infield spots, or certainly second base, that you're the sheer fact that Schneider is now an everyday player means that we're seeing him a lot more in left field, because the Blue Jays have so many middle infielders to choose from. So
Well,
that
everyone on the
roster
team could play
construction,
second base. I've got a
there you
story where
go.
I was in San Diego with my wife and we were watching the Jays Padres series, and the guy that was sitting next to us was talking about how every guy outside of Jackson Merrill, every guy on this team used to play shortstop. And I joked back. I was like, yeah, yeah, we got the same thing, but with second baseman, right?
Yes, that is it. It's, you know, I was a firm believer that when the Blue Jays broke camp, those were the players that needed to break camp with the team. I wasn't really, even like Daniel Vogelbach, I understood the decision of yes. having him break camp with the team at the time with the way that he was producing in spring training.
Especially with Votto, you know, doing what happened with his ankle. And, you know, it's like looking back, it's like who else was going to take that spot?
Exactly. Maybe a guy like
Horowitz, maybe a Spencer.
Exactly.
Like maybe,
exactly.
But, yeah.
Maybe. But it was really up in the air, and the Blue Jays do value veteran voices in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. So that was it. And then we knew that now the next step for Davis Schneider would be to prove himself as an everyday player. And he has. Mm-hmm. And I'm still a little, you know, whenever I check the lineup, part of me kind of expects his name not to be in there still.
Yes. Yes.
Which is, you know, it's pretty weird to say when you look at the stats and you look at what he has consistently done. And now we have all this back tracking data from Baseball Savant and StatCast, and you can look and you can see that it's not just that he controls the strike zone. It's not just that he is an on-base guy. He's making quality contact more often than most guys are. So I believe that he is an everyday player for this team. I believe that getting better in the outfield will help, although we are always going to look at him as a hitter first, and what he's doing offensively mm-hmm. will drive his playing time, but giving himself different avenues to play also helps his case. He is an everyday guy, and you know, you kind of hope and you kind of believe that the team and the coaching staff are seeing that too.
I hate the direction that we're about to go here, but I know you already know what direction it is just by me saying that.
Great segue.
Right? The schedule's softening a little as the Rays and White Sox come to town. What do you think that this team needs to do over the next 14 games before Baltimore returns June 3rd to take the pressure off this front office from being early sellers, which honestly, you look at the standings right now and where they're at in the AL East, and it almost feels like if they continue on this road, it would be malpractice by this front office to not seriously consider selling. They're 19-23 right now, 5 games back of the final wild card spot. How good does this team need to be the rest of May for us to breathe a little easier?
Listen, 5 games back is not the end of the world, right? It's not the end of the world at this point. And I just want to preface with that and then say that I don't want to say they need to win 14 games in a row, okay? But they kind of do. You look at the stretch, and you look especially at the White Sox series, that's going to be pretty pivotal. That has to be a sweep at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm usually more cautious with my words when it comes to that stuff. But where we are, there's no other outcome that would be acceptable for the Blue Jays, because we have seen the struggles, we have seen the flashes of potential and what can be. You know, the starting staff again has been so good for this team, and that's not going to go away against the White mm-hmm. Sox. So you need to get those runs on the board, and you need to win those games. And you mentioned there's 14 games until the Orioles come back, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say anything other than 10-4,
yeah,
anything lower than that,
which still only puts them like 4 games above 500. Going
right.
into the toughest stretch of their schedule. If anyone
That's
hasn't
right.
looked ahead to May, maybe save yourself the headache and just live in the now for right now, because it doesn't look pretty coming out of June, coming out of May, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Yeah.
This is a tough division. This is a tough division. And when you have teams like the Twins, who are also figuring it out, and the Guardians are playing well, and the Royals are kind of like sneaky, you know, there are more contenders for those wild card spots than maybe there were a season ago. And that should be pretty scary. And that should put the Blue Jays in a mindset of, we need to take care of business right now.
Even when you stated there's five games out is not that huge. And that is 100% correct, especially mid-May. To count yourself out five games out is ridiculous. But there are sure a lot of teams between them as well, which is always a more scary proposition, right? When there's that many teams.
Because listen,
when you
looked at it last year, it was like, okay, there's Blue Jays, there's the Yankees, there's the Mariners. The Rangers were definitely in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? And then after that, you know, the AL Central, you could just completely discard.
Yeah.
Whoever won that division was going to be the representative, and that was it. But this year, that's not the case. And sure, the Astros are struggling, and you can never count out the Astros.
No.
But they are struggling right now. But then there are so many other teams that all of a sudden look like contenders as well to make the postseason, that is. And so, yeah, it puts the Blue Jays in a little bit of a tricky situation, trickier than last season.
Is John Schneider, is he on the hot seat right now? I know that he probably shouldn't be because of how many manager switches Atkins has already been given. And there is a very good argument to be made that this is more on roster construction than it is actually on John Schneider. Yeah. Irrelevant, same question. Is he on the hot seat? Yeah.
Is he on the hot seat? I haven't heard enough either way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be.
Yeah.
I truly believe that this is a guy who has built so much experience within this organization, who knows the players in such a unique way, and who has the brain and the talk for this job. When you talk to him, it is very, very clear that he understands each facet of the game in an elite way or an excellent way that, you know, warrants him being where he is. And then when you put that together with the trust that he has built with this core of players for such a long time, I do believe that he is the right guy for the job right now. However, there is only so much that he can do with what is given to him. And also, he is not the only voice on this team. And we know that.
Yes.
You know, there's a million people working for the Blue Jays. And Ross Atkins was pretty categorical last year in saying that managers' decisions are the managers to make. I don't know how much you can really, you know, cling on to that and believe that and take it at face value. There are so many other voices around this team, and it's no secret, it's no mystery why the conversation in the off season revolved around, okay, let's simplify the message, let's streamline it, let's make sure that players are not overwhelmed and with information and all of that. Great. John Schneider is one piece of this. He's a pretty important piece. But yeah, I don't think he should be on the hot seat based on what we have seen so far.
Do you think there is such thing as too much information? It was really interesting to watch the Seattle Mariners, and when they were struggling offensively, what they did was they literally removed the iPads from the dugout, which is the first time a major league team has done this. I was actually kind of impressed to see it happen. And they, again, who knows what the reason was. It's funny how things can coincide, and, you know, they could have just been ready to come out of the slump anyways. Yeah. But it did work. Is something like that maybe something that this team could look at? Or do you think that they're so analytically focused and so focused on their approach that this is not something that they would probably consider?
I don't think this is something they would consider.
I feel
however,
the same way. Yeah.
There is such a thing as too much information, right? And that's not, we don't even have to stick to baseball. I mean,
no.
You go and, you know, do research to buy a car, and if you just keep looking and looking and looking and looking, you're never going to buy the freaking car because there's just so much out there. And you know, there's so many options. You could lease, you could buy, you could do this, you can, it's not, this is not exclusive to being a hitter on a Major League Baseball team. Too much information can be paralyzing, period. So great, the Blue Jays implemented a first step in making sure that that is not happening and that the information is coming to the players in a more digested way that they can actually execute on when they are at the plate. That is, you know, by definition, a new approach, a new strategy that they're just implementing. And maybe they need a little bit more time to get it to be where they want it to be. And we are seeing
and luckily
the
they have
trend
so much time too. They have so much time to spare.
I mean, the beauty of a long season, but then when it starts eating away at the early months and you're like, oh, okay, now it's not a long season anymore, right? But we are seeing the right trend. We are seeing the at-bats trend in the right direction. That has not consistently translated into wins yet. Mm-hmm. And that is what's frustrating.
The last two series were uplifting, even though in the end they still finished 2-5 or 2-3 on that run against the Twins and the Orioles, but they did look better, right? There was the fact they even came back and won that game against the Twins. Like I honestly thought that was going to be the turning point of the season if this, and it still might be, you know, like they just don't score though. Like
selfishly, that kind of ruined my life too, because I had my game story ready to go.
Yeah. You were done by the fifth. You're like, they're not coming back.
It's great. It's going to be an easy Saturday. That's awesome. Yeah. But those are what makes it fun, right? Those games are what makes it fun for all of us.
Exactly.
It's the unpredictability of baseball. It's the fact that, you know, the Blue Jays, Yusei Kikuchi gave them 8 excellent innings and took the loss, and Kevin Gausman got picked up and saved by the offense. It's again, it's still very inconsistent, and had they been able to hold on to a couple of those close margins, you look at the Orioles on Wednesday, you look at the National Series in which they had chances to sweep even at that point. You look at those, had they held on to those wins, maybe the conversation would be a little bit more optimistic in the sense of, okay, the bats are coming around, rather than is it time to sell? So it's the ifs, right, of baseball. It's tough.
It is the ifs, and it is tough. And let's keep climbing up this chain then, because with so many expiring contracts and players hitting free agency over the next 2 years, if, and this is a big, big if, obviously, but if this team needs to go into a rebuild / retool direction, let's start with who will be at the helm of those decisions. If that winds up being what happens, can you see Atkins being given a second chance to start over? Because I defended Atkins a lot over the last few years. And I mean, I just have stopped believing. Unfortunately, I think he's a good GM. I just don't think he's a great one. And he's made some missteps and overcorrected in a few scenarios. And it feels pretty bleak right now. So for me, I would not want to see a rebuild started with Ross Atkins. Your opinion on just if it was a rebuild, if they should look, even if it's not outside the organization, if they should move on from Ross. And I also want your opinion on, I mean, it feels like they'd have to get rid of Ross, but can you see it happening? Can you see Ross being given a second chance to rebuild?
What has history taught us on that front? That's the number one question that I would ask, because it's difficult. Any opinion that we have on this should be an informed one, I feel like.
Yes.
And I don't think I have seen a GM, and please correct me if I'm wrong, be able to hire this many managers, which would be, I think, his third, say, you know, if you want to go that route, and get, you know, 2 rebuilds after not accomplishing much in the postseason. Historically, that has not been what happens. So that's a pretty good indicator there. Now, the Blue Jays, obviously, you know, Rogers Communications, I mean, the ownership group, they really value Mark Spira and Ross Atkins. It's clear, especially, you know, with the renovations and all of that. This is a long-term vision that this club had and entrusted in Mark Spira and Ross Atkins. However, if it doesn't translate into the wins on the field, then what are we doing? Historically, I would say that this means these guys are going to get a pretty long look at what they have accomplished so far by ownership group. But you never know. The Blue Jays don't always operate as a traditional Major League Baseball team.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting because even the acquisition of James Click 2 years ago, they've just kind of stashed him away, and there's not a lot of talk about him.
That's a pretty large shadow, right?
World Series.
For sure.
I mean, we're just going down a speculation rabbit hole here, but
listen, front office decisions and constructions and all of that, it's never good when you're talking about that.
No.
Right? It never means a good thing for your club.
No, it doesn't.
When you're spending that much time talking about it and speculating and looking at, okay, when clubs went through similar things, what happened to their front office and things like that. But that is where we are, and that is what we're looking at, and that's just the reality of it, and it doesn't look particularly promising.
It scares me, Julia. Doesn't. Like, I hate rebuilds so much.
Yeah.
As a fan, I hate them. Yeah. I remember in 2017 and 2018 watching the best players just
bleak.
Be stripped away. And it was and that 2019 season was so bleak and so tough to watch. And of course, I'm such a masochist and such a huge Jays fan. I put myself through every single one of those games, right? So it just does this team. Let's look at it like maybe they go the retool route.
Sure.
Does this team have the assets, money, organizational leadership to retool, ship some guys out, bring some guys up? I know that the farm is not highly touted. I know that the cupboards seem bare, and I know that all of their assets seem to be aging, and the ones that aren't, we could talk about Bo and Vlad forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the potential is still there, and it also, again, this is more speculation, but how are the relationship between Bo in the front office and Vlad in the front office? Has there been talk of re-upping on them?
Yeah.
Can you pick one and try and build around that guy, or do you need to, is the right move a full teardown?
Let me give you the question back then. You know, so let's play GM for a day.
Yeah.
This season ends, the Blue Jays miss the playoffs. What do you do?
Personally, I move on from Ross Atkins. In fact, if it's looking like they have no shot come the trade deadline, I move on from Ross Atkins mid-season, very similar
Dang,
to what...
Really?
Very similar to what the Mariners did with giving Jerry DePoto in 2016 the lead then. Because I just don't want a guy, I don't want a dead man walking, making big decisions for this team as collaborative as they are, right? I know that's been the big word they've used right since Mark Shapiro took over as president, collaboration and the value of that.
Yeah.
So I would move on from Ross Atkins at the deadline. I would probably
Can I just say also, we as a society need to move on from the word collaboration. It didn't work. It didn't work. Like, just move on.
That's right. If COVID taught us anything, it's that we're not in it together. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I would go with James Click just as the interim to start the direction is. Personally, I would get down on my hands and knees and beg Bo to sign long term.
Yeah, whatever you want. We'll throw in a pony, right?
You want a pony, we'll get you two. Exactly.
Yeah.
I really like Vlad still. And if Bo's moving, I think there is a way to maybe convince Vlad to sign a 4-year bridge deal that brings him to 29 and, you know, allows him to like go to free agency again to try and make those big bucks. Cause Vlad is just, I mean, he keeps shooting himself in the foot. Like every time he gets hot, he gets ice cold. And it just seems like even if you watch 2023 and just what he produced, I mean, that's a real big outlier that it's hard not to point at and be like, you have regressed every year.
Yes.
But still a very valuable player, you know. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would get back for him what he's worth. And then I'm kind of like my hands are tied. They have a bunch of money coming off the books. I don't know. I know how dangerous trying to augment your team in free agency is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just spent 10 minutes you and I talking about George Springer, so it doesn't always pan out, right?
Yeah.
But I think they need a new voice at the top other than Ross. And I think they need to make a decision on one of Bo or Vlad, try their best to keep one and get what you can for the other, either at the deadline here or in the off season when they still have their highest value left and a year left to term. Their pitching is so good, Julia. Like
the pitching is so good.
And I'm like, how is this? Like, if we had this pitching in 2021, we could be talking about the flag that's flying. Like,
For sure. I would add another piece to this equation, regardless of whether the Blue Jays can keep one or Bowen and Vlad or both. We should be including Danny Jansen in this equation as well.
A guy that is
you know, approaching free agency here and who has had some terrible luck when it comes to injuries, but when he's healthy, he's produced way more often than not. And he has been the bright spot of this offense so many times, especially over the past two seasons when we look at struggling guys and then you have Danny Jansen, right? You trade away Gabriel Moreno. Great. What is your catcher of the future, quote unquote, now?
Yeah.
Who is the guy that is going to take on that role for you? And Jansen has made significant strides defensively, and he produces at the plate, right? I don't think he's going to get Sean Murphy kind of money, but...
No, he's 28 and has 600 plate appearances over his last 3 years. I mean, if I'm Danny Jansen and I'm the Jays, they're the perfect combo, right? Because Danny could probably sign a 2-year, maybe even a 1-year, right? Like he can probably, I don't think they need to go all in on Danny. I think that they can lock him up for a year or two and see what's going on with his health. And I think that's what Jansen would want too. You know, if I'm Jano and I'm looking at my numbers, I'm like, man, if I can do one season even close to that, I'm one of the most valuable catchers in the league.
Absolutely.
Why would I lock in long term, right? So I think there's a good match there, and that's a really good point. That's a really good point. Speaking of catching, where are you at on Alejandro Kirk? Like, I hate to say it because I was such a huge fan in 2022, and I mean, Silver Slugger, and you watched him come up in 2020 out of A-ball. He comes up out of A-ball and just hits. Like, I had so high my expectations were for the kid.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm almost out on him. Where are you at on Alejandro Kirk?
Well, the offense has not been there, right? I think it's that simple. He's a guy that is always going to be an OBP guy first in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen him hit bombs, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that.
But do you want him on the base path once he walks?
There you go. It's rough. It's difficult. And then you're facing, you know, especially in the late innings, you're faced with the decision: do you pinch run for him? Do you not? And that's also a conversation that we've had so many times, and that could have potentially changed the results of games and all of that. It's always valuable, obviously, to create traffic on the bases. And then we go back to damage, right? In lineup construction, and how are you making sure that you are optimizing a guy who is not the greatest athlete, but when he does get on base, how are you making sure that you're cashing him in? So
you hit Daniel Vogelbach right after him.
Oh my God. Yes. Or, you know, when Vladdy gets into those, GIDP moments of his, it's tough to watch. It really is.
It is.
But But the bit is that the quality of contact and the on-base stability, that's all good stuff, and it's what has brought him to here. It's certainly a piece of what helped the Blue Jays make the decision of parting with Gabriel Moreno, and trusting Jansen and Kirk. So far, and it does go back to last season, and last season Kirk had a delayed start to spring training, and that really, you know, seemed to impact him. Whenever Jansen goes down and Kirk is asked to catch more, we see that that affects his production at the plate very clearly. He does better when he has a second to catch his breath and come back to game action. So many factors. But then you look at his defense. Not the greatest at catching runners, trying to steal, no. That's for sure. But he's a terrific blocker. And more than that, he is very, very good at calling games. You speak to pitchers around this organization, and that is something that they see tremendous value in when it comes to Kirk. It's framing and pitch calling. He steals strikes all the time,
which is a skill that even his haters, I don't give him enough credit for. I see it all the time. He'll steal a strike. Yeah. He probably steals three a game. And
you're especially in the conversation around catchers, I believe that you need to look at the whole.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really separate defense from offense because their value is pretty much split. Right? If you have a catcher that can hit 20 home runs a year and is very, very good defensively, that catcher is going to be a Hall of Famer. That's how it is. But we have seen a regression with Kirk offensively, as we have seen a regression with everyone offensively. I had never heard the word regression.
I'm so sick of that word regression. Jeez. Like, it's just like in 2022, I don't even remember anyone talking about regression. And now, like, the last 18 months, and it's been like, oh, the word of the year. And it kills me. Every single player on this team has gone through regression.
What does that mean? Where does it come from? Right?
How are there so many going through it?
Yeah. And the frustrating part is that you look at Kirk in spring training, and he was doing relatively well. Like, he was looking like Alejandro Kirk. And you looked at that and you thought, okay, if he goes into the season like this, then the Blue Jays should be fine. And then Jansen gets hurt.
Exactly what I was going to say. And then he's overworked. And one thing with Kirky, when he's overworked, it's his bat that goes.
Yes. Yes, it is. And this is a pretty important guy when it comes to offensive production as well. He is, or was, or has been a big part of the Blue Jays' plans. So, again, puzzling, which is the new word, along with the regression and collaboration.
So I do have some listener questions for you, which we'll get to away here. But I have a question for you just about the job here. I know that there's hiccups on any job for all of us, right? I know as a stand-up comic, I've got some of my best stories are when things go the absolute worst they could possibly in the moment. And then you can kind of look back and laugh at. But like, while you're going through it, the sky is falling, right?
There's no laughing.
Is there a moment, like, looking back on your career reporting on baseball where just things did not go your way, and you look back now and you kind of smile, but at the time it felt like you were like drowning?
Whoa. Okay. Be interesting to ask Blue Jays players that question, but I won't, because then I'd have a new answer probably. There's been, I mean, baseball is so unpredictable, right? Just so much happens. I think a couple years ago, the Aaron Judge home run watch, what was it? Was it 61 that he hit here?
Mm-hmm.
I was on Yankees for that, and it was a 3-game series, and I was basically just like on Aaron Judge watch. And we, you know, spoke to Kevin Gausman after his start against the Yankees, and he was pretty honest and being like, it's kind of weird that we have to stop everything we're doing and change the baseballs whenever he comes to the plate. And that's pretty disruptive.
Yeah.
And that whole thing, it was just so tense for everyone. I remember even tweeting about that Gosman, you know, just tweeting out the quote and getting slammed online by people. This is a historic moment. What are you saying? And oh, he doesn't have the right, and blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I can see that tensions are running high. So maybe stay away from Twitter for a little bit. And,
Yeah.
You know, game one goes, game two goes, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna pull through. He's not gonna hit this freaking home run here. He's gonna go somewhere else, and he'll be someone else's problem.
Yeah.
And then obviously he hits it out of a Tim Mesa in the third and final game of the series, and that was a production. You know, I've covered some postseason series, a couple of ALCSs. I've been at the helm of, you know, dealing with ALCS MVP stories and running after quotes and stuff like that. But that was definitely one where everything that I had to do for it, and just the long days, and you know, chatting with Jordan Romano, who secured the ball and gave it back to the Yankees, chatting with Jimmy Garcia, who was warming up at the time and kind of like saw the ball hit, you know, land next to him. And oh boy, that was a long day. That was a marathon. And you know, I was talking to guys that really didn't want to talk about that. They were not happy.
That is so funny. I was just going to ask you that. I'm like, it must have been so annoying to the Jays players that were like, oh.
Yes. And that is one moment.
Which
that,
I'm
you know,
sure
as
they
a reporter,
got. I'm sure they got. But like.
Well, I mean, I prefaced every interview with, listen, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I know you don't want to talk about this. I kind of don't want to talk about it either, but it is my job. And so, thank you for taking the time, and thank you for answering. And obviously, you know, the Blue Jays, you got to give them credit. The clubhouse culture is very good in that sense, in which that they will give you the time and they will give you thoughtful answers, even if it's the last thing that they want to do at that moment. So that was a silver lining. If it had been a different clubhouse, maybe a more ego-driven clubhouse, then my life would have been way harder. Although it probably would have made for better quotes thinking about it now. Anyway, that was one that, you know, I finished it. I wrote, I delivered. And then I came out and I said, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? It is so late. It is the middle of the week. This is a lot. But then you kind of, you know, you get some rest. You get some good food in you or whatever. Some time goes by. It's kind of like child labor, I guess. You forget how painful it was. And then you look back and you're like, that was a pretty historic moment that I was not only able to
so
be part
lucky to
of,
be a
but
part of.
yeah, you know, like I actually got to deliver that and help tell that story to baseball fans everywhere. So in the moment, I wanted to be anywhere else. And then you kind of go out of it and you're like, this is pretty cool that I get to, you know, now tell that story. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I don't know if that
that's
answers
great.
Your question, but
no, it
yeah,
does. That's great. Actually, it's funny. It reminded me a little bit. So my little sister is also a professional stand-up comic, and she writes for This Hour, has 22 minutes and like tours the
stage. Oh,
nice.
She's
much bigger than I am, but she's kicking butt. But she has a story where when she was living in Toronto, just like cutting her teeth, and my grandma had called her and was like, hey, how's it going? So are you making money at comedy? And she was like, well, you know, no, most of my money is made waitressing during the day. And then I go out and I get better at comedy. My grandma's response was, oh, so are you just going to do that for the rest of your life? And my sister's response was, she tells this on stage now, but she's like, yeah, grandma, I kind of yell the same thing into my pillow at the end of every night.
Oh my God. Yes, that is it. That is hilarious.
Right?
I'm definitely going to look her up.
Yeah,
please
Claire,
give me
for
her name.
Everyone listening,
Claire.
Claire Belford, check it out. Her album, The Entire Cabbage, is wherever you get your albums for comedy. So check it out. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks. Nice
Yeah.
plug-in too. You should
hey,
let her know.
Right? I'll let her know that she owes me one. Okay, let's
casually
get
bring
out of
up
here.
Casually bring up the walk-off on
yeah,
stage
that's
the next
right.
time, and
That's
then you're
right.
even.
That's right. Let's get you out of here, Julia. I got a few listener questions for you, and we'll wrap it up. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. This is so much fun every time.
Agreed. Okay. So I got a message. Actually, this one kind of excited me because the lady who messaged was obviously very excited that you were coming on the show. Jasmine on Twitter reached out and she's like, "Hey, Julia, absolutely love you on Jay's Talk. And really anywhere I get to hear your opinions on this team. I think you are so funny and so well-informed. I just graduated high school and I love baseball so much. If I was looking to get into the industry, what is your advice? Is it just take journalism in college?"
Well, first of all, thank you. That means a lot, especially on the internet. We don't get positive feedback all that much.
Yeah, right?
So really appreciate it. You've made my day. Yeah, I'd say, you know, my route was journalism school. And you already have a leg up if you're in this hemisphere. If you go to journalism school and you can get involved in sports kind of right away. I'd say that's a pretty good place to start. And more than that, if that is, you know, you go into college and you kind of progress and you're firm that is what you want to do, then you start reaching out to people and asking for advice and asking to grab coffee or whatever it is, because this is not just about quote unquote networking and having, you know, people in your corner. It is also about kind of listening to people's experiences and learning from them, you know, to the best that you can without it being an empirical thing. Mm-hmm. But you really get to understand sides of the industry that you don't see from school or from, you know, television or from the ballpark or whatever. You know, these the Aaron Judge home run stories are things that, you know, the backstage of it is probably not something that you're going to learn in school. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that the more people you talk to, the better off you'll be when it's your turn to actually enter the workforce and do that. So it's something that I did a lot during my sports journalism post-grad program, and I don't regret it because it at least prepares you for a different set of challenges that are going to come when it's time for you to work as well.
Great stuff. Love that. So we have a Discord. There's like 200 rabid Blue Jays fans from all different time zones that literally, like, I get in there every once in a while, but it's self-sufficient and they're talking 24/7. So it's great. I put in there that you were coming on the show, and this is from Darren. He goes, "Oh, awesome. Pumped Julia is coming back on the show. Can you ask her if she thinks Jose Berríos and his under 3 ERA over 55 innings this season is what we can expect for the last three quarters of the season? I think he's hit another gear, but also I'm well aware his career average is a 4 ERA. Does she think that by the end of the season, that's more reasonable to expect?"
I don't think you're going to see a 4 ERA from Berríos. I do think that the step up that we're seeing from him is legit. Let me explain. You look at, you know, field independent pitching. Yes, that may tell a different story. But guess what? Pitching is not field independent. Pitching is very much connected to fielding. And we know that this has been a point of emphasis for the Blue Jays, run prevention and getting better at defense and being elite on that side of the ball. So what Berríos is doing is he's adjusting so well to different lineups that he is facing, in that if, say, his slider is working and his changeup is nasty and he's missing bats, then you're going to see 8-9 strikeouts in a game. If it's not, that's okay too. He can go to the fastball, the two-seamer especially, challenge hitters and get outs via his defense. What we're seeing here is a level of adaptability that maybe, you know, if you could translate that into the offensive side, then the Blue Jays would be in a much better place. But it seems different in that he is not only trusting his stuff, he's also trusting the guys that are on defense behind him. And so that is why I don't think you're going to see a 4 ERA, and I don't think you're going to see his ERA catch up to his FIP. It's because he understands game situations at such an elite level, and he is going to execute accordingly, and he is executing. You know, the location is working so well for him. His mechanics are in place. He's obviously super healthy. He looks in the best form of his life. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see either him just striking out a bunch of batters or just trusting the defense behind him.
Which just goes to show you his experience too. You know, like
that's right.
It's interesting to see how much this fan base has almost come to dislike the defense first approach, because it has become so difficult to watch when they don't score runs.
Yeah.
But I'm so with you on FIP. You know, like if I watched a Cincinnati Reds game a few days ago, really fun, exciting team to watch. The gaffes they were making in the field, though, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that this was something that we just dealt with all the time in 2021.
Yep.
There were just mistakes being made. And
trauma flashbacks.
Trauma flashbacks. And it's been fun to watch. Like, the pitching gets so much credit. But I do think that even the pitching understands how much their numbers have benefited from the defense that this team has put behind them. So, I mean,
yeah,
some run scoring would be
good.
Nice to go with it, but
very collaborative of them.
Yes, very collaborative of them. Last question here for you, also out of our Discord. This is from Jason. He goes, "Hey, Julie, I love your work. Any idea on why the Toronto Blue Jays haven't extended any of their players minus Barrios? Have the higher up said no on long-term contracts, keeping options open for a rebuild?" And then it parenthesis, he goes, "I hope not. Is there no players? Is there no players they'd even want to extend?"
Yeah, there's definitely players that the Blue Jays would want to extend. You know, you speak to Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins about that. It's very difficult to get anything out of the front office when it comes to information. What we have heard time and time again is that there are conversations happening with guys like Bo, guys like Vlad, and the secrecy around it is kind of justified. But then, you know, you have interviews in which Vladdy says that that's not necessarily the case, and there haven't been a bunch of conversations. So,
which is weird to hear, right?
It's just so murky. It is just so murky and weird. But of course, the Blue Jays want to extend these players. They want these guys to stick around. And looking even beyond, you know, the core hitters here, someone like Yusei Kikuchi should probably get an extension, or at least an offer for an extension, because what he has done is pretty remarkable.
And he likes Toronto. Yeah,
there you go. He's happy here, and he's clearly benefited from this coaching staff as well. Once he bought into what they were trying to do, we are seeing the results on the field. So that is someone that the Blue Jays would probably want to extend as well. There's always going to be secrecy around that stuff, and it's always going to be difficult to get a straight answer. But I don't think that that is a, I don't think that the Blue Jays are holding off based on a possibility that things don't go their way and they're going to be sellers at the deadline or at the end of the year or anything like that. It's just, this team is not really keen on contract talks in season. And these are tough conversations. There's a lot of moving parts to contract negotiations. And so you may see a little bit of a longer wait time for that to happen than you would like, just because of the complexity of it.
It is interesting to watch the way the free agent landscape is changing as baseball becomes more and more focused on locking up those young stars long term. I mean, you're watching Bobby Witt get locked up, and Jackson Merle, and you know, I mean, Jackson Chorizo already signed. He hadn't even played an MLB game before the Brewers locked him up. So, I mean, free agency just isn't what it used to be, where you did have those 28-year-old super studs that if you threw enough money at, they were a sure thing, you know, guys like Trey Turner, where, that cost them a lot of money, but
right on.
I mean, sure thing, right? I mean, yep. And I even wonder if $150 million just isn't enough, like, because we know George Springer wasn't a sure thing and he was already over that age 30. So it's like, what do you need to pay in free agency to get those guys? I mean, Juan Soto's going to get a boatload. And if not, then is it worth maybe not, like, maybe going a little over your number? Because I know that's the sticking point here with this front office. Yeah. They have an evaluation. They've been very good at sticking to those evaluations and not going over them. I mean, we've seen them lose out in free agency because of it. We've seen them sign some really good deals because of it too, right? Like Kevin Gausman, great deal. How can you not love that deal? So I don't know if there's really a question to go with that outside of just, I feel like this front office needs to either figure it out or come up with a new plan The old way of doing things is changing.
For sure. And it's kind of weird that this contention window for the Blue Jays fell in that transition period of this is how free agency was done and this is how it is done now. And, you know, we saw from the sheer length of time that it took for guys like Matt Chapman or Blake Snell to sign. It's a different world than it was. But the Blue Jays got a little bit caught in between. And it goes back to adjustments. It goes back to new strategies, new game plans. Okay, this is the reality right now. How are we going to adapt and make sure that we are still players in this market and its current realities? So the offseason ahead, and I don't want to look too far ahead, but you have to think it is going to be so fascinating for the Blue Jays in terms of what they do and the decisions that exist. And
might be the most important offseason in the last 25 years. Like,
yeah. Let's just fast forward to that.
Yeah. I'm done with this season.
You know, like MLB The Show, you just simulate the whole season so you can start fresh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Julia, I've already kept you way over what I should have. Been greedy with you, but thank you so much for your generosity with your time. Always love talking baseball with you, and I look forward to the next time.
Same here. I really appreciate you. Good luck with everything, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.